So this morning is the last week of this Hey Jude series. And you may have noticed this. I didn't notice this. Last week I said, well, I named it Hey Jude. You may know a song, Hey Jude. Now, I didn't grow up. This was before my time. But I said, well, I'm going to bring some of that out during the message. And then as I was editing the video, I realized I didn't bring that out at all. Well, that's okay because it actually fits better today. So I'm going to be bringing that out a little bit. But last week, we dealt with how this letter is written for a blessing. See, there in the intro of the book of Jude's letter, he tells us first and foremost who he is and who he's writing to, right? He's Jude, and he's writing to followers of Jesus, those who are already clothed with Christ. And then he's writing these things to be a blessing, so that as we are blessed in Christ, we share that blessing with others, right? And so we talked about Christ having given us mercy and peace and love. And as a result of that, he then multiplies those humble offerings in our lives as we share them with others. This is the economy of God's grace and how he has worked that out. So today we're talking about contending for the faith. Why should I contend for the faith? And we're going to hit three things. First off, we're going to answer, what does it mean to contend for the faith? Why should I contend for the faith? And then how do I do that? How do I contend? So let's go to the Word. And before we do that, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to meet us here and to open our minds and give us wisdom by his Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me? Father who has given all for us, your great love motivated you to send Jesus to die in our place as the payment for the price our sins deserve. But you didn't stop there. You blessed us further with the presence of your Holy Spirit in us. And Father, we pray that by that presence and power of your Holy Spirit in us this morning, you would give us wisdom. And not just wisdom, but courage to walk in accordance with what your truth says. Father, may you speak through me. Shut my mouth to not be able to share anything that is not of you. And strengthen us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so have you found Jude? It's at the very back. We're going to be reading 1 through 3. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. So what is the whole purpose of Jude writing this letter? Not just to be a blessing, but to encourage followers of Jesus to contend for the faith. Well, what does that even mean, to contend for the faith? Well, it means to strive, to struggle, sometimes against opposition. In this case, to struggle against what's false. And, you know, actually, I would love to give you guys a visual illustration. Could I have three people offer to come up here and do an illustration with me? Oh, no one. Seriously? Oh, okay. Crystal? Okay, you can come up. Let's get generations. Okay, so we'll have you two. Now, y'all come up here, and let's say, because I'm all about this, you guys stand over here, and you guys represent the church. Now, I'm not talking about Woodland Hills Church of Christ. I'm talking about the universal body of believers, past, present, and future, all those who name the name of Christ and call Christ Lord. So let's imagine right along this line, okay? This is the line of demarcation. Over here is followers of Jesus, and over here is the world. And so we see this cosmic battle going on in Scripture where the world is encroaching on the church. But we also see that the church is called to go into the world. So we've got this line, and what I want you guys to do is I want you to hold me back, okay? Do not let me cross this line, okay? Don't let me cross. Don't let me cross. Okay. Okay, well, it took them a second, right? They're like, what do we do here? I don't know what's happening here. So there was something that was kind of off about this, right? Because it's not just the world standing here and the church standing here and saying, none shall pass, as it were, right? We see in Scripture and we see in our daily lives that we constantly have this struggle of the world trying to infiltrate the church, and the world is pushing. We are trying. And now, well, hey, you crossed the line. Now, what is that about? They crossed the line. Oh, but maybe there's something biblical about that. See, thank you very much. Give him a hand. I won't make you stand up here the whole time. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I want to make sure it's looking good, sharp. Okay.
So there's something interesting about that in this illustration. See, Scripture tells us that the world is constantly trying to encroach, trying to stomp out the light, stop the light. But Scripture tells us that the darkness has not overcome it. In fact, the darkness cannot overcome the light. The light will always dispel the darkness. And what I want us to see that may be difficult, because we had people up here, right? We had the godly over here, and we had the ungodly trying to fight against the godly, right? So we might be tempted to think, oh, that's people. But that's not the picture. See, we are called in Scripture to struggle, to overcome. This is what we do. The language of Scripture uses words like fight, struggle, persevere. What we could do, if we're not careful, is we could think that that's about people. I don't like this person. This person isn't like me. Well, they're not a follower of Jesus, so we're struggling against them. No, that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that we fight against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness in this present age. We are not struggling against people. People are not our enemy. People are not the problem. The problem is a very real enemy that seeks to destroy, right? The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Christ has come so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So this is what it means to contend for the faith. Not just that we hold back those spiritual forces of darkness that would destroy people. And we see this happening in our own lives, don't we? We see people struggling in spirals of sin. Sometimes it's a substance abuse, and we can see it very clearly that something wrong is going on there and people are being destroyed. Other times it may be something that we are tempted to say, oh, it's not a big deal. Like someone is trapped in a cycle of gossip or slander, things like that destroy people, destroy lives, create bitterness. And the Word tells us that we are fighting against these things, not just holding them back, but we are going into the world. not to beat them over the head with our Bible. Yeah, well, my NASB here, it's a study Bible. So I got a lot of notes here. It's thick. This is going to hurt. Some of you might have a big KJV, like a family Bible. It's got pictures throughout it. It's like 2,000 pages. That could kill a person. We don't smack people over the head with Scripture. We do what Jude talks about in here. He says that, man, there are people that are marked out for condemnation. Why? Because they deny the only Master and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord. And so he tells us what we need to do. Verse 22 and 23, we went over that earlier. We're going to touch on it again today. So we contend for the faith, not just by holding back the spiritual forces of darkness, but by going into that world where the spiritual forces of darkness are destroying lives. And we rescue people, kind of like a firefighter going into a burning building. Do you think they're not scared to do that? Oh, I played with fire my whole life. No. But despite their fear, because the consequences are so real, because the stakes are so high, they rush into that burning building to save lives. This is the story of Jude. So you contend for the faith, but also by faith. We contend for the faith by trusting in the reliability of the God who calls and comes. He has called us each, and he has done more than that. He hasn't been far off and removed. Come to me. But he has come near in Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. This God who calls has also come. I went with several people this past Friday, to see the new movie Risen that just came out. I strongly recommend this film. It is amazing. And there's this one moment, not really a spoiler alert, you know, because has anyone read the Bible, you know, about Jesus? Okay, so it's not really a spoiler alert, but they bring up this hypothetical character of a Roman centurion, a guard. And he sees Jesus die on the cross. And then he sees him alive. And it rocks his world. And so he starts following. He abandons his post. And he goes to Jesus. He doesn't know what to do with this. And so he's actually talking with Jesus. And what Jesus says kind of harkens back to what Jesus tells Thomas. You know, when Thomas comes and he actually sees Christ risen from the dead, and he says, oh, my Lord and my God. Whoa, that's a pretty amazing confession, right? My Lord and my God. And you notice Jesus says, that's blasphemous to say that someone is God when they're not. He accepted that praise because he is God in the flesh. And what does he say to Thomas? He says, you believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's talking about us. So in this movie, Risen, he kind of takes that stance with this Roman centurion and basically says to him, you know, don't quote me, it's something like this. He says, man, you know, you've seen this with your own eyes and you still struggle with it. Imagine what it's like for those who haven't seen this. And it hits them. And I can almost see the wheels turning in Joseph Fiennes' character. He does such an amazing job conveying, yeah, that's a good point. Man, I've got to share with people. I've got to tell them what I've seen. God calls and he comes. For those of us who have seen, we share. And even though he saw Jesus dead on that cross, and even though he saw him alive, Jesus only came so far. See, he couldn't trust his eyes. Oftentimes, we can't trust certain things in our own lives. Ultimately, it will always come back to faith for us. God will show us everything that we need to believe in him, to trust in him. And yet, we must take that additional step of faith to not have every question answered. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the confidence in what we don't know yet. We don't know all things yet, but Christ has given us everything we need for life and faith in him. And when we believe, when we take it on faith, when God has come and brought us so far, and he calls us to make an additional step of faith, we become co-heirs with Christ. We become heirs of the promise given to Abraham, who believed by faith. And as we went through this triumph of faith in the halls of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, before we saw these people who believed on faith. Now, we think of people like Moses. Did he ever see God show up in a crazy way? Yeah, he saw God move. Did Gideon have a reason to trust God because he showed up? Yeah, but both of them, all of them, still had to rely on faith. Did David ever see God work in his life? Yeah. And yet this runt of the litter, who's just a poet out watching the sheep, he still had to take that step of faith, believing on the Lord. So this is passed on. This is the faith that was passed down once for all. Right? The faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. That didn't just happen when Christ came. That happened from the very beginning when God first started to speak. And so what does it mean to contend for the faith? To strive against opposition by faith, for that faith, while standing on the promises of God. I had that hymn running through my head all week. Standing, standing. You know what I mean? Can we sing it all together? If you know it, maybe that's asking too much. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Man, that's beautiful. I was not planning on doing that, but that's beautiful. I love to see that and hear that. So that's what it means to contend for the faith. But why? Why should I contend for the faith? Well, Jude covers some harsh things. It can be difficult. It's hard what Jude conveys. And think of that song by the Beatles. Again, not a group that I grew up with, but I know the song. Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Jude points out that there are difficulties in this life. There are seemingly insurmountable mountains to climb. And yet we have promises and we have blessings to stand on. We have the presence of the living God in us. So we don't continue to make it bad. We fight against that. We take a sad situation and we make it better through Christ. So why should I contend for the faith? Because the souls of the lost are at stake. Eternal damnation is real. This is what, man, this is what Jude points out. I've already read it from verse 4. Those who deny the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, are already marked out for condemnation. Now, you could say, well, that's harsh, man. I choose to follow Jesus, right? Because Jesus was loving. Yes, he was. These things come from Jesus. Read all of Matthew 7, and you will see Jesus talk about something like the broad way and the wide gate that leads to destruction. And there are many who find that. There are many who walk that road. And then there's a narrow way and a narrow gate that leads to life, and few find that. That's kind of harsh. It lets you know something about traffic patterns, right? There's a highway to hell, and there's a stairway to heaven. Tells us something about the traffic patterns, about the stakes that are at stake. That's kind of weird. The stakes that are at stake. Things are serious. Souls are at stake here. It's like in this video. Think about, you're in the church, and as a member of the church, you see things from the world that are trying to encroach. And you watch this, and oh, it's kind of like a dog. You see a big dog, and if there's a dog that just for the life of it cannot get this big stick in through a door, and oh man, it's hard. You may all, but come on, that's funny, right? And we laugh at that kind of stuff. That's funny, but it's not funny when we talk about people. When we talk about people and we proclaim the gospel to them, and we might say something like, God loves you just as you are. Come just as you are and be saved. This is great, but it's not the full picture, right? Sometimes we can convey that to people and they think, oh, well, all I have to do is come to Christ and be saved, and they can still be living in bondage, in destruction. They could wind up not really even being saved in the first place because they don't hear what Christ says. Repent and turn to Christ. Repent and trust in the Lord, in his sacrifice. And so, then if we truly care about the lost, we will tell them, come just as you are and trust in this Savior who will transform you. He will pull you up from this miry clay, from the dust and dirt that we are covered in, and he covers us with himself, pure white garments. Why should we contend for the faith? Because the lost are at stake. Because our ministry is pulling people away from the flames. Jude chapter 23, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Some who are in the faith, and yet they're doubting. Who of us does not doubt about some things? The question is, who do we take our doubts to? Do we take it to a skeptical website? Or do we take it to the authority of the Word of God, who has already taught us, who has already spoken to that which brings doubt in us? Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. We are called to pull people from the flames in mercy, in grace, in love. Why should we contend for the faith? To stop our enemy, because there is a very real enemy that seeks to steal and kill and destroy every seed of the gospel that God has planted in our lives. And we've got everything that we need to rob the accuser blind. What did Jesus say? No one can go and rob a strong man in his home without first binding the strong man. And what does he say this in context with? He is healing people. He is releasing people from their sin. Christ has bound the strong man. He has bound Satan. And he has given us the power, the authority to do the same by the word of God. We have the authority of God's word. I mean, this word that created all of the heavens and all of the earth. Do we still think that that word is powerful, or is it now too weak to rescue us and to save us from what threatens us? My Bible says that the word of God is living and active. And it divides. It divides even to the separating of soul and spirit. The word judges the intentions and the thoughts of our minds and our hearts. This word written enables us to test the spirits to see if they are from God and to avoid distortion. But the word is not just written. The word is walking as well, isn't it? John 1 tells us that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And this word became flesh and dwelt among us. This word is walking even now in us. Christ in you. The hope of glory. In Christ, we have this living word in us. We have the indwelling authority of the Holy Spirit guiding us, directing us. Why should we contend for the faith? Souls are at stake. We are to pull people from the flames, if we have compassion for them. And we are to stop the enemy that wants to destroy people. We proclaim life to them through Christ. Life, not just as usual, but life abundantly. So how do we do that? Three things. How do I contend for the faith? This may hit you in a different place depending on where your walk with Christ is. First thing is to equip yourself. Maybe you're in the place where you have not trusted in Christ in the first place. There's no battle for you to fight. Right now, you're on the losing side. You must submit to Christ. You must pray, beg God to save you. Beg, not because he's like, nope. But beg him, share from your heart that you desire the things that are of God. And he will come to you because he's calling you right now. That's not me. He is calling you now. And if you respond to him in submission, I'm not worried about my reputation, what people think of me. God, in the midst of my mud, what I'm covered in, come to me. Save me. I need you, Father. And he will come because he's already here. He's already here. He's already right next to each and every one of us. He is here. So equip yourself. Submit to Christ. Or for you, maybe you are already in Christ, but maybe some of the things that I'm saying, though it's dripping with biblical allusion, though it's dripping with these passages of Scripture, it may sound foreign to you. I don't know what that means. Well, equip yourself. I've challenged us throughout my time here to go to the Word. Don't just trust what I'm saying. This is why I give you all these passages of Scripture. Go to the Word. Read these passages of Scripture. Take these promises upon yourself, the promises of God's presence with you, so that you are not walking in defeat in your Christian life. Hold on to that. Equip yourself with the Word. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the full armor of God. Man, read that. Read these passages. Equip yourself, follower of Christ. Second, lock arms with the faithful, your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Not a one of us is perfect. I've said it before many times, haven't said it in a while, but man, we are just imperfect people worshiping a perfect God. And we are worshiping a perfect God because he is perfecting an imperfect people through Christ. Lock arms. Seek fellowship. Maybe that means here, seeking fellowship with this body of believers. If that's what it means for you today, well, then we encourage you to join. You may say, well, I don't know, I met some people here and they seem like hypocrites. We could always use one more. Come, join us. Join us. Walk in Christ with us. Now, this video that we showed with the dog, you may be like, whoa, what is that about? Look at this quote. Read it with me. This guy named Jack Wilkie, who wrote an article, and he used this dog as an illustration. When we try to have a relationship with God while letting kids, sporting events, sinful entertainment choices, ungodly relationships, substances, or anything else come between us and him, we are no different than a dog who chooses a stick over everything the house has to offer, only far more foolish. Put away your idols. Cut off those relationships. Distance yourself from anything that pulls your affection away from God. As C.S. Lewis wrote, there are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind. Distance yourself from anything that pulls your affection away from God. Now, this is interesting. Well, so you just want me to kick all of my lost friends to the curb? If your affection is solely focused on God, it will drive you to your lost friends to snatch them from the flames, right? What Jude said. It won't break off those communications, but we will be locking arms with brothers and sisters in Christ who encourage us, who strengthen us, who give us hope when we're feeling broken down. Men, speaking specifically to you, this is a huge deal for us. Ladies, you can encourage your kids to come to church. And that's great, but the statistics are staggering for the men who are not leading their home after Christ. The statistics are staggering of those children who will abandon the faith because it wasn't real in their father's life. They didn't see it. They didn't see that they truly loved Christ. They truly followed Christ. That is a huge burden and a huge challenge to us men. Do not slack in your fellowship with believers. Do not slack in your love for God, your devotion to Him, not just here on Sunday mornings, but every day of the week. Walk with God. And women, don't be that nagging wife like water dripping off a roof, right? You should read the Bible more. Why aren't you more godly? No. Develop a prayer room, a war room of your own, and pray for your husband. Pray for him. This is something that we can all do. So equip yourselves, lock arms with the saints. And thirdly, get busy. Get busy moving. Serve in some capacity. share your faith with the lost and support others. Who knows, but there may be someone that needs discipling and you've got exactly what they need. Who knows, but someone has what you need and you can be discipled. Let us be the church, the body of Christ together. So I'm asking you to stand with me now as the worship team comes forward and we sing a song of invitation. What has the Lord laid on your heart this morning? Do you need to submit to Christ and trust in Him to acknowledge that He is Lord and Savior? I encourage you to do that this morning. Man, we will baptize you right now, buried with Him and raised to walk in newness of life. Maybe you need to find a body of believers to walk with. Maybe today is the day. Maybe this is the body. We would love to have you if that's the case. Or maybe you just need prayer. Come forward in this time as we sing this song of invitation.